let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm
and help your neighbors.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The tragic early morning for the city of Pensacola, and a really devastating devastating for a grieving family of a 19-year-old man who was shot and killed early this morning.
Yeah, so obviously the big unfortunate news was the shooting on July 4th, it was really early Sunday morning, but late Saturday night. And, of course, we had the chief, Eric Winstrom, doing a press conference yesterday morning. He's going to do another press conference today at like 10 or 10:30 and give us an update. But so far, what we know is, of course, the lead up to all of this is they announced that, and they didn't really give an explanation in the actual release about the buildup. But I think it was on Thursday that they actually PPD actually put out a note that said, hey, we're going to be putting even more police officers on the patrol for Saturday the 4th. 50 additional uniformed and plainclothes officers to patrol the event around surrounding areas. Not so much fireworks per se, but, you know, fireworks and then all downtown on Saturday night. These officers will remain on duty through the early morning hours of Sunday, July 5th. These additional officers are intended to ensure a secure atmosphere where families can celebrate without fear of violence or disorderly conduct. City of Pensacola, this is from the release they put out on Thursday. City of Pensacola is dedicated to maintaining a welcoming environment for everyone. As such, there will be zero tolerance for violent, reckless, or disruptive behavior. Any actions that threaten the safety of community members, visitors, or law enforcement personnel will result in immediate enforcement action, which was a point that Chief Winstrom pointed out during his press conference yesterday.
Thursday, you may have remembered, we had a press release letting the public know that we were going to have 50 additional police officers at the 4th of July festivities to ensure that people watching the fireworks could bring their families, enjoy the fireworks with their families in a safe manner.
And I know what some people who hear that might be thinking is, well, good Lord, if they've got 50 extra police on patrol and they still can't prevent a shooting from happening, I mean, how many does it take? Well, 10,000. I mean, you know, even downtown Pensacola, as relatively small as a place as it is compared to a place like, you know, L.A. or New York or Chicago, you know, if you really wanted to put enough police on the street to prevent every crime, well, you know, it's one or two on every corner. And even then, I mean, a bad guy could decide that one or two is worth the risk. 50 seems like a lot when you think about it. But, you know, they weren't all waiting outside the Sanger Theater for a brawl and a gunfight to erupt. They were all over the whole area of downtown. And so 50 into that large space, you know, it's really not as much as you think. Now, it's a lot. And, I mean, the fact that they surged 50 was, I think, pretty amazing. And it was partially because of that surge, I'm sure, that they had the response that they had. But they were all there all day, all night, basically trying to keep order with a lot of unrelated, and I want that to be a key thing to keep in mind, unrelated bad activity from mostly young people throughout the evening.
Unfortunately, as the night went on, a group of hundreds of unaccompanied young people started to engage in disruptive behavior, small fights, and that escalated. They were throwing mortar fireworks. Officers began to take enforcement action. We made numerous arrests, including a young man who was actually throwing fireworks while armed with a handgun.
So you had a teenager, a minor, I did confirm, a minor who was actually arrested for throwing mortar fireworks and having a gun in his waistband as he's downtown, something that the chief talked about a little bit later on as well. And that's not great. And by the way, you might wonder, you know, if if you're not big in the fireworks scene. What is a mortar firework? And, oh, by the way, I'll take a moment to announce a new Do you want to say what's going on? I'm looking at you in the face and asking you.
I'm Candy, and I'm going to do traffic in a minute.
Candy is back.
I am hanging out.
That was a horrible shooting. Not for an hour, by the way. But, yes, Candy is back as producer now with John, who is safely in Texas when, you know, massive life changes happened for him and his fiance. And so,
oh, my God, within a year.
Yeah, I know. It's so quick. But Candy's back.
Yay, I'm back.
So, anyway. Which is, I mean, like, honestly, this is, I'm so excited. You know, love John dearly, love Candy, so I always get the best people to work with. Anyway, mortar fireworks. If I say a mortar firework, Candy, do you know what that is?
Those are the big kind that my neighbor shoots off.
That's it, yeah.
Right? The big
it's a tube with the thing that you drop in it, right? You light it, you drop it in there.
They look like the kind on the barge.
Or that you, you lit whatever you, well, apparently what these folks were doing, when we were kids, and Candy's not quite my age, but almost my age. When we were kids, what you would do, and I say this only because I think some people might have heard this and thought, oh, my God. Well, this is people throwing or launching, but the way I understand it is it was more throwing, the kind of fireworks that blow up and make a 20 or 30-foot explosion in the air. Like the big kind, right? The ones that, you know, when your neighbors pay for them, you're glad you didn't have to, right? That kind, the ones that really bother the dogs. So they're throwing these things at each other in a crowded downtown on Palo Fox. So, you know, that's concerning. When we were kids, we'd, and I mean, maybe I shouldn't say this, I'm the responsible adult, but here's the truth of when we were kids, you'd throw bottle rockets at each other. You'd shoot them at each other. And, you know, across the street at, you know, your friend across the street or, you know, you throw ladyfinger. That's a little tiny firecracker or regular firecrackers. You know, that's, you'd chase people around. And, you know, I never did the Roman candle thing, but I know people who did, which is, you know, light Roman candles and you use those as like instead of a BB gun. Well, okay, bad things can happen. That's true. Certainly bad things and bad things have happened with those. But generally speaking, we knew enough to know that you might light off an M80 and slide it down a metal slide back when those exist and make a sound. This is loud. But you didn't throw those at people because that could really hurt somebody. Yes, a firecracker can hurt somebody. Yes, a Roman candle could theoretically hurt somebody or a bottle rocket. But, I mean, you know, mostly nobody really gets hurt. These are really dangerous. You're throwing real fireworks at people. So this is a major safety thing, right? Well, that's what was going on Saturday. But here's the thing to keep in mind. My opinion, my interpretation of these events is that all of the stuff that was happening on Saturday with the kids and the fireworks and, you know, there's been allegations that there was some kind of a flash mob takeover. The police never said that. There's no evidence that that took place. But, you know, CNN gets a hold of a story and then suddenly it's flash mob murder in Pensacola. And, CNN's stupid.
We made the national news?
Yeah, not just because it's CNN, but because, like, I remember when they came here for the NAS Pensacola shooting. And, you know, this dill hole was in the press conference where we're all members of the community trying to, like, report a story. He was, like, asking all these ridiculous, aggressive, national newsman, God, I got sent to Pensacola kind of questions. And I'm like, okay, well, that showed me everything I need to know about the national media. Anyway, back to Chief Winstrom talking about dealing with the parents who had their kids downtown on Saturday night.
Was encouraged as it became later and later in the night as I had conversations with parents that would come up to me, say they were looking for their kids. They had seen on social media that these young people were being disruptive. So it really made me optimistic about this community. Kids as young as middle school, I saw out there by themselves. Engaging in some frightening behaviors.
But catch what he said. He was encouraged by the parents who had come down and were looking for their kids. And he was there all night. I mean, they were all 50 plus normal. And the chief would normally be down there anyway. But I think to understand what happened on Saturday, it's important to understand that it was really a series of not connected things. The fireworks, the regular old fireworks, that was one thing. That's the first year I've missed the fireworks in Pensacola because we were in South Carolina. We were actually at Lake, I was wanting to forget the name of it, the one in Alabama. It's up by Auburn. I'll think of it later.
Is it Martin?
Yes, it is. Thank you. Lake Martin.
You went to Lake Martin?
Yeah.
Is it awesome?
Paddleboarded. It was fun.
I hear it's expensive.
The Jumping Rock. No, we didn't pay. I mean, you know, I don't know. We parked in some off-the-way place, and we walked in our paddleboards and paddled out to the Jumping Rock and watched a bunch of people jump from even higher than I was willing to jump. I just jumped from the regular part. But, you know, we had a good time and paddleboard back. Anyway, we don't pay. It's like parking. We don't pay for parking. Not because I know people, but because I look hard for no pay spaces. Anyway.
You and me, bud.
So what actually happened? Oh, okay. So it's disconnected events. You had the fireworks at 9, and those were over by like 9:20. You had not really that was connected to what happened later on downtown with the lots of teenagers, but there were also kids. I mean, they probably went to the fireworks. There were also kids around downtown who probably shouldn't have been at that age. And then later, much later, like in the morning, you know, 6 hours, well, 4 hours later, was when this all took place, when the shooting took place. There's no evidence that any of this was connected to the fireworks throwing or the kids playing or any of that kind of stuff. It just that there was a crowd. And in a crowd, when you have a shooting, if it's aimed at a person and there's a lot of people, well, there's going to be bystanders hit. So this is not, again, my interpretation. I'm sure we're going to find out more from Chief Police this morning. But I don't interpret this, you know, what you typically think of as a mass shooting, you know, where people targeted a populated area to try to kill. No, it's not like that. This seems like probably somebody either heard somebody was down there that they wanted to go kill because they knew them and they had prior beef with them, which we've known that's happened in Pensacola before, or they were downtown and they ran into somebody that they knew that they wanted to kill and they took advantage of the opportunity. And it could have just as easily happened in some fast food restaurant or in some park or at some nightclub. It just happens to have been on the 4th of July in downtown after a very crowded night. And I think that's important to keep in mind, that this was not some 4th of July shooting, even though it took place on the 4th of July. This was just another, and not to diminish it, but this was another just stupid, bad people incident that happened to be on Palafox on a populated night. So with that interpretation in mind, which, I mean, I'm welcome to find out that I'm wrong, but I don't think the chief is going to correct me on that. We'll see later today. Here's how he explained the events as they took place on Sunday morning.
At about 1:20, we heard gunshots in the area of Intendencia between Jefferson and Palafox.
By the way, if you don't know the location, that's the other side of the Sanger Theater. That's the south entrance of the Sanger Theater, if you want to think about it that way. If that helps you put in your head where this was all taking place.
Officers very close by, including myself and others, ran to the location. We saw numerous people on the ground suffering from gunshot wounds. Officers immediately began providing first aid. Tourniquets were applied. Tragically, a young man was provided CPR. CPR was ineffective. He was pronounced on scene.
So, again, with 50 extra officers on duty until the early morning hours, when shots go off in a side street, basically, I mean, a major side street, but a side street in Pensacola, they search the area, and what they find there is one person dying and six other people wounded from some unknown incident.
Six other victims, so a total of 7 gunshot victims for this incident. The other 6, fortunately, are all receiving medical care at various hospitals, and all 6 are expected to survive.
Which, largely, I think, again, some people might react, you know, oh, my God, they had 50 officers extra, and they couldn't stop a shooting. Well, you know, what I look at it as, we had 50 officers extra, and 6 people are alive. I mean, what if we hadn't had a bunch of extra officers downtown who were all immediately able to provide life-saving to the 6 wounded people? I don't know how critically any of them were, but with tourniquets are being applied, you know, some of them were pretty seriously wounded, right?
Like I alluded to, there were a lot of very young kids earlier in the night. Yes, we had young people throwing fireworks. Although the youngest victim in this case was 16, the age range was 16 to 26 of the 7 victims. There were very young, innocent kids out there. And as tragically as this was, the loss of a young man's life, with 7 people shot, and with bullets flying, it could have been even that much worse.
It absolutely could have been so much worse. Yes, it's very bad to have one person killed and 6 other people wounded. But if you're thinking about a crowded area in a long alleyway, if you want to think of it that way, that you've been down to that part of the town, you know it's kind of what it's like. Anything could have happened. And I mean, you know, he says that there were somewhere probably in the vicinity, he doesn't know how many shots, but somewhere in the vicinity of, you know, 10 to 20 or more. It wouldn't surprise me if there were more at the time. They hadn't yet done, you know, they were still combing the scene basically yesterday. We'll find out more about that this morning. But, you know, handgun fire is notoriously inaccurate. It's very, very hard to hit a target with a gun, with a handgun, no matter what you might see on TV. It's actually very hard, and especially if they're moving and you're under stress and you're moving and there's a lot of people, anything could happen. And if 20 shots get fired into a crowd, you know, that anything can happen. That's the point. So also he says it was not at all random. It was definitely targeted towards, it's not clear. I think some of this is going to become clear as we find out, but I don't think they absolutely confirmed that the person who was killed was the intended target. I think it's a reasonable inference to make, but I don't think we know that for sure. But he said it was absolutely targeted and not random. And he also said, and this is very, very important, is that, you know, it's safe to go downtown, that he would take his own kids downtown last night.
But what would I say? I would say that I would feel comfortable taking my family down to Palafox Street tonight.
Absolutely, because Pensacola is a very, very safe place. You say, well, we just had a big shooting. How is it safe? Because there are violent incidents in every city. It doesn't make it okay. It doesn't diminish the significance of it. But I would go down with my kids on tonight, tomorrow night, the night after that. No problem. You know, would I go down at 2 a.m.? I mean, I would. I'm not typically going to go down there at 2 a.m. It's just not when I'm down there. But, you know, it's just not like Palafox and Pensacola is a very, very, very safe place. So keep that in mind. More as we go on throughout the day. By the way, happy 250th birthday to us. Get it, because us is U.S. Anyway, and more on that later. And, yes, I had a great vacation. It's outstanding to be back. Thank you to everybody who filled in, for Bobby for filling in, and for PJ for filling on the board. And it's good to have Candy back.
Hey, it's Woo-hoo. Nice. Yay.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Oh, is this where I go to commercial?
Sure.
All right. I am so sorry. See, isn't this nice? It's 526. We're live.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have a health reminder from the CDC.
Pneumococcal vaccination is recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
If you've lived in Pensacola long enough, chances are a piece of jewelry in your life has passed through Beret. An engagement ring, a family heirloom, a necklace that needed a little extra care. For 40 years, Beret Jewelers has been the place locals bring the pieces that matter most. From custom designs to expert repairs, to rings that start new stories and more. Beret does it all.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Weekdays, 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, we started up on his 6 when he pulled through the clouds, and then I moved in above him.
Well, if you were directly above him, how could you see him?
Because I was inverted.
So today and possibly into tomorrow, it'll be as much 4th of July, you know, freedom, revolution, independence, America's great, all that kind of stuff. Even including some of the clips. So because, you know, I wasn't here for Friday, which is kind of the pre-day. But, you know, we don't work on the weekends unless there's an emergency, in which case we do. But happy birthday to America. So it's just, I mean, it was fun. And by the way, you know, did watch the fireworks, not the ones here because we were traveling, but did watch the ones in D.C. Holy cow. And, you know, anyway, we'll get to that later. For the moment, I do want to mention that one of our relatively new advertisers on the show, Ace Unlocks, Chris Rohn is the owner. Great company, terrible name. And I'm not saying that. Like, he says that. He's like, I said, what do you want me to tell people about you? He's like, tell them that we do more than unlocking car doors, please, because that's what people think, because it's in the name, which is how they started at UWF. Like, you know, 28 years ago, they started unlocking car doors for $20 a pop. And they figured they get a couple a month. They wound up doing two a day. And they still only charge $25 to the students, which is kind of a cool service. But they started out of an 89 4Runner and an 89 Mustang, a pager, and a payphone is how they started this company originally. And now it's like this total comprehensive lock agency. Particularly when it comes to cars, they can make your fob. They've got all of the equipment that the you know, the dealership use, all of the same exact machines, same exact software, damage keys, missing keys, extra key if you bought a car and didn't have one, all of that kind of stuff. That's what they do. Residential locks, business locks, even car control modules, they can program them if you work on your own car. Find out more about Ace Unlocks or just stop by at Airport near the railroad tracks.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump heads to Turkey later today to meet with NATO leaders, but first he rings the bells from the Oval Office at the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ, celebrating the July 4th launch of the Trump Accounts Program, a show of solidarity in Iran.
Hundreds of thousands of Iranians gathered in the streets of Tehran today and over the weekend as they mourn the loss of the late Supreme Leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei. This entire event will last until July 9th.
Fox's Trey Ings, Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica, will be in the same courtroom today with the family of her husband's alleged killer, Tyler Robinson.
Prosecutors will begin laying out their case against 23-year-old Tyler Robinson for a preliminary hearing that will determine whether there is probable cause for this case to proceed to a trial.
Fox's Chanley Painter in Provo, Utah. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 right now. 77 degrees and partly cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Seven people were shot on Intendencia Street in downtown Pensacola early yesterday morning. Police say one victim did not survive. The other six are expected to make it.
Six other victims, so a total of seven gunshot victims for this incident. The other six, fortunately, are all receiving medical care at various hospitals. And all six are expected to survive.
Pensacola Police Department Chief Eric Winstrom. The victim who died was a 19-year-old man. Victims ranged in age from 16 to 26. The shooting happened on Intendencia Street between Jefferson and Palafox, just blocks from where the city had been celebrating the 4th of July earlier in the evening. 50 additional officers had been deployed downtown for the holiday. No suspect is in custody, and Chief Winstrom will update the information in a press conference later this morning. A 32-year-old Crestview man was killed around 8:40 p.m. on Friday night when the homemade go-kart he was driving collided with a pickup truck on Garden City Road in Okaloosa County. Troopers say the man was traveling south on Garden City Road when the go-kart entered the west shoulder, lost control, and re-entered the roadway directly into the path of a northbound pickup truck. The pickup truck, which was driven by a 26-year-old Crestview man, hit the go-kart, and both vehicles came to rest near the crash site. The go-kart driver died from his injuries, while the pickup truck driver suffered some minor injuries. No further details have been released. A log jam on the Blackwater River is devastating business at Blackwater Joe's Canoes during what should have been the busiest weekend of the year. The Holt Outfitter has shut down all the trips until the jam is cleared, and manager Ben Waltman told Channel 3 the financial hit is adding up fast.
It hurts us really bad whenever 10 people can't go, you know, or 20. Some days we might put 60 people in the water or 100, but today I've turned away 40 or 50 people. You know, you get five cars come in, five in each car. Next thing you know, you've lost that money.
Waltman says the logs jammed south of Bryant Bridge and have since moved downriver into Santa Rosa County. The Division of Forestry is assisting with cleanup efforts. Independent kayakers are attempting the river, but they are warned to be extremely careful. Currents are strong and the conditions are dangerous. Let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We will have a 40% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 81. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, 40% chance of rain, high near 91. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 82. Heading into Wednesday, 20% chance of rain, mostly sunny skies, high near 91. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Second active Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 77 degrees in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, and 75 right now in Milton at 535. The next news is at 6 a.m. Breaking news, of course, happens anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dan Loney with Your Money Now. More than 13,000 air conditioning units are being recalled by Amana Heating and Air Conditioning because of a risk that they could cause fires and burns even when turned off. The recall was issued in late June for window room AC units and through-the-wall air conditioning and heat pumps. More than 13,000 units sold in 2025 in the U.S. and Canada are part of the recall. Electric vehicles may not be selling fast in the U.S., but the pace of sales is apparently picking up in Russia, according to Reuters. Apparently, there are car dealerships in Moscow selling 2 to 3 EVs per day right now. That pace was 2 to 3 per month in the past. Part of it is tied to a fuel crisis in Russia and a switch by consumers there to EVs. Microsoft is moving engineers and salespeople to a new venture called Microsoft Frontier. The new division will work closely with clients on AI engagements. Microsoft's investing $2.5 billion into the new arm. And that's Your Money Now.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
As Florida parents, we have a choice about where our children receive their education. I'm a mom of four, and I've chosen Santa Rosa County Public Schools for my family. That's why I'm running for school board. I have a vested interest in making sure our children receive a quality education. I'll be your advocate in our community, promoting transparency, fiscal responsibility, and a brighter future for every student. I'm Jill Broxton-Teston. I'll be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxton-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on the Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi. But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Morning, 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Candy's back. Yay.
Hey,
thank you to PJ
exciting.
For filling in last week. And obviously, best of luck to John, who's now off in Texas. And
I know he left his address up because I saw the real estate thing. What a nice home in Lubbock.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. Lots of things that took place this weekend other than the 4th of July. Of course, USA is going to play in the World Cup tonight. And we have our prime scorer back. What an odd thing. I don't know if you're much... Candy, are you much of a soccer fan? If we've been watching the World Cup at all?
Only when I need to make conversation with Kevin King.
Yeah, that's about right. Because he thinks...
I don't, but everybody's watching it this year. It's great.
Kevin is like our... Dave and Mary on the radio station, and Kevin works under them. And so he's like the chief... He's chief deputy, chief of staff, or whatever you want to think of it.
He's all the way up there on the totem.
Yeah.
I'm all down here.
But Kevin is just convinced that soccer is fantastic. And so, I always wonder about his love of this country, but... no, kidding. He loves this country. He's a Braves fan, okay? He's a great person. He is the cat person. Like, he helped launch Cat Country. Anyway, and great guy. Very smart radio programmer, too. But it just always, I know it always hurts his heart whenever I make any sideways comment about soccer, because... He just wants to. There's a little part of him that wants to cry because he loves it so much. He doesn't understand why I don't love it.
Because
and I
Americans
say,
will never embrace soccer.
Yeah, I'm as close as you're going to get. Like I watched soccer, I watched football when I was over there. Went to games. You know, I worked
in
bartender.
You're practically British.
Yeah, almost. You know, except my teeth are all intact. So, but I said it anyway. So, I still can't even bring myself to watch the USA games in their entirety. I watched the England Mexico game on fast forward. Oh, they almost got nothing happened. I watched the earlier game with Norway. That was wild. Oh my God, the MVP, the Norwegian goalkeeper, crazy number of stops that he got. It was ridiculous. So anyway, I probably won't watch the whole thing like in its real timeness tonight, but. You know, we are playing Belgium. I mean, it's going to be a good test. It's going to be a real game as opposed to, you know, some of the others. So, you know, we'll see. Whatever. It's going on. It's to me, and I made the transgressions out of this a little bit, is it's a great ad for America because so many of these Europeans are coming here and discovering that, oh, my God, America, look at all this land. Look at those houses. Look at this Waffle House. Look at the Whataburger. Oh, my God, Buc-ee's. This is a gas station. Like that, their reaction to the United States is the reaction of the kind of the kid who grew up in the projects and was told that's all there is, and then one day goes to the country club and is like, oh.
Have you heard about the ranch dressing thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where they're drinking it at the airport because they can't take it with them.
They're discovering.
I get it.
They're discovering that America is not the land they have been told it was by their media or by, you know, for example, the export of American media around the world. You don't really understand. If you've never been overseas, and I won't say that I'm some great world traveler. I've just been over enough to have seen it, is the world knows America from our TV and movies from 10 years ago. not movies as much, but, you know, like TV, it takes time. And their awareness of what we are, of who we are, of what's meaningful to us, the best illustration I can give you is that when I used to, you know, work in England for a little while, like 6 months, as a bartender, and then travel around and meet people, and I like to meet people. And, you know, where are you from? The United States. Obviously, look at how you're dressed and how you sound. But where in the United States are you from? Well, I would tell them Chicago because that's as close as you could really get geographically and they'd have any point of reference. You know, I never lived in the city, but I lived in the suburbs. I went to school in Champaign, which is in the middle of Illinois. Anyway, and I'd say Chicago. And I will tell you how many hundreds of times in people that I have met. Oh, Al Capone. Boom. Like, that's Chicago, that's America to them, is they think, and probably not if you ask them directly, oh, so you think that there's guys riding around on Model Ts with Tommy guns shooting each other up in zoot suits over, you know, cards and illegal alcohol. Like, sorry. I mean, granted, the reality of Chicago today is not that much different than back then. You know, the type of gun have changed, the type of criminal has changed, the level of formality in the attire of the thugs has changed. But, you know, generally a lot of it actually is relatively accurate. But it's not Al Capone. But that's the level of percolation of the knowledge of America that they experience. And so if that helps you understand that to them, they're what they've seen on TV. You know, we are just like they are to us. You know, what do you think of Israel? Oh my God, it's war and rock. No, you should go to Israel. It's really super safe. And even in, you know, the West Bank, it's super safe. Like, it's a fine. Don't give me that look, Candy. You don't believe me? I mean,
I watch television and read news.
No, but that's the point. Like, TV and the news is a completely distorted picture of the world. I remember there's this famous movie, and I'm trying to think of the name of it, with Samuel L. Jackson. He plays a military investigator where he goes to an overtaken embassy, and they're trying to figure out whether, who shot first in the situation, whether it was the Marines who shot first or whether there's gunfire from the crowd is the premise of it. I'll think of the name in a minute. But there's this famous scene in the trial, in the, you know, the court-martial hearing, where they're talking about whether it's an unsafe place. And, you know, they say, well, it's an unsafe place. It's a dangerous. And he gives, as evidence, he gives the front page of several American newspapers. Here's the New York Times. Here's the LA Times. Here's the Washington Post. Here's the Miami Herald. If you saw this news, what would you think? Well, you'd think that America was a place rife with gunfire all day long, all the time. Is it? No. That's just what the news shows. Well, the same thing. Like, you know better because you live here. They don't know better because they don't live here. Just like you don't know better because you don't live there. That's my very long-winded way of saying is that their perception of America is whatever they get told and whatever on the news, which is generally not focused on, you know, the pyramid in Memphis. It's not usually focused on the Bass Pro Shop or the Walmart. They don't talk a lot about ranch dressing on the BBC. And that's the point, is when you know, the Grand Canyon and the wide open spaces and the fact that people here have, you know, healthy teeth and big lawns. And you say big lawn. Yeah. Have you been to England? You're right on top of your neighbors. There's no space. And that's part of the point. Oh, thank you. Rules of Engagement was the movie. Excellent. Well done. I love the text people. You guys know the most. Anyway, so the point is they come here and they've been fed a bunch of lies. Like if you watch, no offense to my good friends in the news, only the news and formed your opinion about Pensacola only from the news, what would you think? It's a place of shootings and car crashes. Right? Because that's what you see all the time on the news. Well, you know different because you drive your kids around and you go to school and you shop at shops. And you know different from experience. Anyway, so they come here and they don't know any better because they've seen the news and all of us, and they think it's a place of, you know, racism and Trump and everybody hates each other and there's protests. And they come in like, oh, my God, these people are so nice. Oh, my God, they have these big stores. Oh, my God, there's this natural beauty. And it's a great ad for our country. Also because most of them live in democratic socialist nations where, guess what? It's not as prosperous as it is here. No matter what you've been told about the lies of democratic socialism, the modern euphemism for communism. I know it's not quite communism, but don't get into a debate with me. They are interchangeable along a spectrum, okay? Democratic socialism is a 6, communism is a 10, or an 8. Maybe you say fascism is a 10. Well, Andrew, I thought they were a different thing. National socialism, people. Nazism, national socialism. Just keep your terms in straight. Anyway, the point is, truth is truth. so the point is they don't know better, and they've experienced a perception of reality of us that doesn't teach them what you all know to be true and what we take for granted because we live in the country club. We do. We live in a country club, globally, historically, internationally. We live in a gated community. I mean, we actually have literally a wall, because it's so good here, and people keep trying to come in, and, you know, we want a lot of them in. But anyway, so my very long-winded explanation is that I think that the World Cup is great for America because we are creating waves of ambassadors of truth about what America is who are going back home and saying, oh, my God, you have no idea. And I know it's only, you know, a few tens of thousands of people, but it's a few tens of thousands more than we had before saying, you know what the news portrays about that country is not accurate. Here's what I loved about it. Maybe we ought to go live there. 437-1620, 437-1620. Speaking of the greatness of America, Small Cakes Cupcake and Creamery is a local shop where they do handmade ice cream, slow-churned, creamy, flavorful ice cream. Oh, yeah. No, it's like that. I mean, it's almost a spiritual experience. Birthday cake flavor, cookies and cream, salted caramel. That's always one of my favorites.
Where is this place?
It's next to the Starbucks and Chick-fil-A on Bayou 9th. I'll get there, Candy. She's so excited.
When do they open?
They're already open. Vanilla bean. Oh, what time you mean? I think at 9. I have to check. Blue Monster, cookie, chocoholic. And that's just the ice cream. Okay? Meanwhile, cupcakes. Red velvet, lemon drop. Wedding cake, pink vanilla, hot fudge, sundae, birthday cake. They do catering. They do weddings. They do gifts. You know, all of the stuff, okay? And they I love their slogan. It's fantastic. Their slogan is, maybe a cupcake will help. I love that idea. Anyway, Small Cakes, Cupcake and Creamery, handmade, tastes like it, next to Starbucks and Chick-fil-A at Bayou and 9th. I'm Andrew McKay.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Hey, Pensacola pet parents.
Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
Still doing sort of Independence Day, Freedom America songs and clips. Randy Quaid in Independence Day.
Oh,
flying up to destroy the big ship. Sorry to blow the ending for you. 551 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Candy is back as somebody just texted in the best laugh in all of radio.
The worst laugh in all of radio. I sound like somebody's assaulting a goose.
But the goose likes it.
Right, but the goose likes it. Right. I like it.
Oh, we're going to get all these texts all day today, too. Glad to hear Candy in the background again. I missed your voice, too.
Oh, thank you so much. I love you, everybody.
We always like to say that if you're never sure whether you're near the radio station, the louder Candy's laugh is, the closer you are.
I don't do it on purpose, though. It's awful.
Awesome.
It is
fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I go on vacation. I come back. I have things to say, and I don't even get to the story I was going to tell you. The story is that the U.S. is playing tonight against Belgium, and we have our star back. Florin Balogun, I can't say his name right. That's one of our strikers who is fantastic. He's got 3 of our 10 goals in the World Cup, and he's the guy that got called for that very suspicious red card where he stepped on the guy's ankle, which
Yes.
You know, and now apparently President Trump called the FIFA head and said, hey, you want to look at that again? Because the rules say that if you get a red card, then for the rest of the match, you're down a man and that guy's out. Like you play with 10 instead of 11. And for the next game after that, you're also missing that player. You don't have to play at 10, but you're out that player. And it was a bad call to begin with. It shouldn't have been a red card. At best, a yellow card. And it, you know, so certainly shouldn't have penalized us against Belgium. Red cards are for, like, you know, flagrant fouls. That's the idea. If you think of basketball, a flagrant foul is the idea of a red card. And I have a lot of thoughts about football. Anyway, soccer. What we call soccer, what they call football. It's very confusing to use these two different terms. The offsides rule. Oh, my God, it's so stupid. Anyway, but that's a whole different. I read a really good thing. I can explain the rule. It is relatively easy. The problem is that nobody even on the field knows when a play is offsides. You have to wait and find out whether it's offsides, which is a terrible way to run a sport. I know you can have a review to find out if there was something wrong, but it's always, oh, he got a goal. Nope, he sure didn't. And not because the guy on the side had the flag up, but because we went to the instant replay and we discovered that, you know, one piece of one dude's hand was behind the other guy when the ball was passed to him. Ugh. Okay, so the two rule changes that I heard about this, and I don't know if you're not a soccer person, you probably don't care, but the two rule changes that I agreed with was, you know, the last white line, basically where the box is, where the big box is, okay, on the field, and that's where the penalties occur. If you commit a foul inside there, you get a penalty kick. Anything behind that line, there should be no offsides. Once the ball crosses that line, everything's fair game. Completely agree. That's exactly right. That would make more sense. The other rule change would be that not if any part of your body is behind any part of the defender, but if all of you is behind the defender, then it should be offside. I mean, I don't really think there should be offsides in the first place in soccer, but, you know, fine. That would be a much better rule. The big problem, like I said, is you don't know when it's happening. Even the players don't know. The players literally it's like, you know, you can't know if you're breaking the law. That's bad law because you should always be able to know whether you're breaking the law. They can't know, don't know. It's hard to tell whether they're offsides. We should always know whether you're onsides or offsides. All right. But tonight we play Belgium, and, you know, best of luck to us. We'll see how it turns out. Anyway, President Trump apparently contacted the head of FIFA, and they did a review. And there's no way for the USA team to do this, by the way. People who are complaining that Trump did it, there's no way for Team USA to do it. There's no rules allowance. So you can't protest it, and so they should have, but there isn't. So the FIFA decided not to overturn the red card, but they suspended it for a year. So the enforcement of that red card, I guess, will take place in a year. I'm not 100% sure how that works since there's no World Cup then. But if he gets called again for a penalty in the interim, he's kind of like on you know, probation right now, then he'll have other penalties applied to him. But for now, the point is we get to play with all of our players tonight, including our best scorer. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, my God. We have so much going on that I want to get to. Oh, this is just kind of interesting. You know, the property tax referendum that we've talked about so many times. And we will. I mean, it's not until November that we're going to figure this thing out, what we think about it. But DeSantis has now backed off of it. He's now saying, which, this is peak DeSantis. He pitches a fit that they don't do what he wants when the regular session happens because the House filed six proposals. They wound up a passing one. The Senate, basically under DeSantis's thumb, never did anything, and they never approved the House. They never even put it up for a vote, the one that the House did put up, which would have eliminated property, you know, homestead property taxes. They didn't do anything with that, so it fizzled. Meanwhile, he's complaining the whole time that the House, the legislature never did what he wanted. He waits until he has the extra leverage of a budget being passed but not signed so that he can politically manipulate everybody out of terror that that their projects are going to get vetoed with the line item veto, to call a special session, rushes through a bill that was not well designed to begin with, even though, again, coming from a guy who hates property taxes and thinks that they are philosophically indefensible, and rushes through this bill. Then, when he gets the bill approved, says, that wasn't my bill. I'm not going to support it because they changed things. Like, they got rid of the fund to help small counties who are distressed because they're no longer funding anything because they have too much of their revenue comes from property taxes. Getting rid of the school portion of the homestead exemption increase, you know, so you're going to still pay the same exact amount of school property taxes even if this thing passes. And now he's basically whining, and that's, I don't know any better way to say it. Well, it's not really my proposal anymore, and so, you know, if somebody begs me to be a champion for it, I guess I'll support it, but I'm not really in favor of this. Just a whiny brat. I'm sorry. I have loved DeSantis so many times, and even to this day, he still does some things that are very, very good. This is his thing, and now he's whining that it's not his thing anymore. In part, if you ask me my opinion, for a couple of reasons. Number one is he wants to be able to distance himself from it if it fails, because the polling is close. Like, the polling is just barely plus 60. It's you know, pretty dicey whether this thing is going to pass. In fact, there was a really good presentation to the Chamber of Commerce that by some lobbyists and by one of the guys, you know, Gray Robinson, who does lobbying for the county, also presented to the county. And I played some of those clips the week before I went on vacation, saying that, you know, we didn't have good polling at the time because the actual thing hadn't come out yet. The language wasn't done. Well, now the polling is out, and it's really close, like 64% support. Lots of support among Republicans, not nearly as much support among Democrats. Whether the school exemption from the changes is an advantage or a disadvantage, I think, remains to be seen. But one argument is it's a disadvantage because now you're philosophically conflicted. They're not really protecting your home from being taken away. But they are preventing schools from paying for the tax reduction. So there's a bit of both sides on that. Anyway, he's just kind of backing off of it. I think in part because he thinks it's going to fail and he, you know, doesn't want to get tagged with that. I think he still has presidential ambitions, and there's a part of him that wants to be able to brag about getting property tax reform done. And there's a part of him that's terrified that it's going to attach itself to him if it fails, or if it succeeds and it's not his plan and it's a catastrophe, which is pretty likely that that's what would happen if we do, in fact, wind up ratifying it. So that's where he is on that. Also, side note, great news for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. You'll see why this is connected in a second. First A rating in Escambia County's history for school grades, which is amazing. Santa Rosa had some, couple of schools fell down a grade, but they're still, I mean, Santa Rosa's still great schools. Escambia is also now very good schools. I think the Children's Trust is working. I think the children, and also through the year accountability is also working. It's hard to separate which one exactly. But here's the one thing I want to say. For all of the whining that gets done about how the schools are losing students, right? Losing students. So they're having trouble paying the bills, and Escambia actually raised taxes this year. You know, they're still getting 100% of the property taxes they used to get with more students. Just a thing to consider in the grand scheme of things that the school district is talking about. But again, good news, especially for Escambia County on school.
Local news.